Welcome to Radio Oldie, sponsored by Baillie Gifford. I'm Charlotte Metcalf, and today I'm honoured to be in conversation with someone who is already a legend amongst Oldie readers and listeners, not just because she was gracious enough to accept the Oldie of the Year award in 2021 after the Queen had declined it on the grounds that one was only as old as one felt, implying she didn't quite feel old enough to accept. Luckily, Leslie did. And regular older readers will by now be aware that I am, of course, talking about the legendary dancer and actress Leslie Caron. Leslie, it's a true honour to have you with us. Welcome to Radio Oldie.
Thank you, Fruity. A real pleasure to see you again.
Just in case anyone's confused about who Fruity is, that's my nickname. And we are recording this in Leslie's beautiful home, and unfortunately there is quite a lot of building work going on in the next door flat. So if you hear the odd drilling and banging, apologies. Now, before we start, I must of course add that the Oldie Award is one of many that Leslie has received throughout her lifetime, including a Golden Globe, two BAFTAs, a Primetime Emmy Award, and that's alongside two Oscar nominations. She's also been awarded the Légion d'Honneur and a John F. Kennedy Center Gold Medal in the Arts, and made it into the Hollywood Walk of Fame in December 2009. But Leslie, perhaps you're most famous of all for your role in Gigi in 1958. But before we get on to that, let's go back to the beginning. Tell us a bit about your upbringing in Boulogne-sur-Seine and why your mother thought it would be such a good idea for you to become a ballet dancer.
Oh, it's a long story. The Nazis were in France. So my mother thought I must have a profession. And she couldn't think of anything better than being a ballet dancer, which she had tried to be on Broadway, being an American girl. Name Petit, however. So I was given ballet lessons very early on, age about 10, I think, and took to it immediately, adored dancing, and my mother was a good advisor. She found good teachers, and in no time at all, I think I was 16 when Roland Petit spotted me at the ballet class that he went to. She had chosen the one where Roland Petit was. And he hired me and immediately gave me a part.
Just explain to our listeners for a minute who he was.
He did the famous Carmen with Zizi Jeanmaire, his wife, and that was spectacular. That was very daring. As a matter of fact, the pas de deux ended up with him lying on top of her.
Oh, very risque.
Yeah, extremely risque. Anyway, he gave me a part immediately. And on the opening night, Gene Kelly was in the auditorium.
What was the ballet that you were in?
It was called 13 Dances, mm-hmm. 13 Danses, and I was playing a little clown with a costume by Christian Dior, absolutely adorable. I must admit that my waist was something like this, same as my head measurement.
I mean, literally about 16 inches or something. Tiny, tiny, tiny.
Tiny. Well, everybody was tiny then. Mm. Mm. Yeah, there was no hamburgers.
So Gene Kelly was in the audience?
Gene Kelly was in the audience. He was looking for a partner, French preferably, to play opposite him in An American in Paris by Gershwin. He was hoping I could photograph all right and he was hoping I would be able to act somewhat, but best of all, he wanted my legs.
He wanted your legs.
He wanted me to be able to dance. So I flew over to California with my mother. I was underage.
How old were you then? 16?
16.
Gosh.
I just missed going to school in the studio. Studio had a classroom where Elizabeth Taylor and all the rest of them had to go every day for a few hours. Anyway, we made An American in Paris, and that was the start of my career as an actress. And I was somewhat sorry to miss dancing. I wanted to be Pavlova, simply. And the studio had, MGM had plenty of great ideas, and I went from one film to another.
How quickly did Gigi follow that?
Gigi was I was 26.
Yes, that's extraordinary, and you look about 12 in the film.
Yes, in the beginning. And I'm here to point out that maybe good acting. I just knew what a child looked like, because by then I had at least one, maybe two children.
Did you?
Yes.
You were already married by then?
Yes. Uh-huh. To Peter Hall. I lived the life of an actress in the West End.
Where did you meet Peter?
When I arrived in London, I arrived in London, not with a ballet company, but as a ballet dancer actress. I thought I was going to do the film. The film was already decided. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be good exercise to do the stage play in London.
You did Gigi on the stage first?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I asked my friends and people who knew the theatre in London, what was Peter Hall like, because I'd been advised that he was the bright young thing in London. And Tennessee Williams, mm-hmm. who was in the same stable as me, mm-hmm. same agent, in New York, suggested Peter Hall. Said Peter Hall is the bright young director. He does all my plays. And he certainly could do Gigi by Colette.
So you sort of chose Peter Hall in a way to direct.
I chose Peter Hall.
How amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we got on famously, but nothing happened. We were behaving as pupils should, as theatre people should, and keeping at a distance until opening night. And that clinched it.
What happened on opening night?
Everything happened. Opening night was just the beginning of my married life.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yes.
What a wonderful story. So by the time, I mean, it's extraordinary to think that when you were doing Gigi, you, in the film, you were a mother.
I was a mother. Nobody believes it.
No.
Because I really do behave and look like
a little girl.
A little girl. Yeah. But I was not.
And what was Maurice Chevalier like? I know everybody must ask you this. You must get so bored with the question. But
he was a man from the theatre. When he started, he'd been in the theatre forever. He could sing, he could dance a bit, he was witty, he was charming. He could hold an audience for 2.5 hours and sing. And he was very witty on the stage. Off stage, he was the opposite.
Oh.
Yes.
Taciturn,
yes.
Mm. How interesting.
Yes.
Oh.
But we did become friends.
So let's go back. So you were married to Peter. You had Jenny.
I had two children.
You had two children.
Christopher first, and then Jenny.
And Christopher, of course, has become a very successful director. And let's talk a bit about the Durrells.
He's a producer, but once in a while he takes over when the director is sick or cannot do something. He takes over because he's been trained as a director as well.
Mm-hmm. So what was it like working with him in the Durrells? Because that was a wonderful show, wasn't it?
Yes, it really was.
Is that the last thing you've done?
No, I did a little film about dancing, which hasn't been widely shown, but I haven't really gone on the stage or made films much lately, that I must admit.
Well, you're getting on a little bit.
93.
Well, you look absolutely fantastic. So let's go back to your life in Sardinia a bit, because you've got this beautiful house in Sardinia. How did that all come about?
Notoriously, British summers can be disastrous.
Mm-hmm.
Wet, windy, etc., cold. So I looked around and where could I find land to build or to buy beautiful houses to receive my children and their friends. And that was extremely successful. We had the only little beach. Every summer was just heaven.
And you still have that house?
In fact, I had an architect who was very clever. He was one of the three architects chosen by the Aga Khan. And I thought I was absolutely enthralled by his houses, which was simple and original and exciting and the right thing for the summer.
Mm. Mm.
With lots of apertures, so there would be always fresh air going through every room of the house. And so I built the first one, and he said, and cara mia, while you're at it, buy the plot next door.
Clever.
Mm. So I listened to that wise advice. And now I do have two houses in Sardinia.
After Gigi, you were married to Peter, and then what did you do next?
I wanted to do drama.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do English films, not just American films. I wanted to do French films, mm-hmm. but the French never believed that I was French, that I could speak French. I remember being interviewed by the owner of L'Odéon, le Théâtre de l'Odéon, and he said, Madame, vous parlez merveilleusement bien le français. Et je lui ai dit, mais je suis française, monsieur.
Why didn't they believe you? Because you'd already been so successful in
Because
Holland.
Because the name Leslie.
Oh. Is that your real name, Leslie?
Yes.
But so,
because my mother was born in America, was
uh-huh.
Margaret Petit, mm-hmm. nevertheless, she spoke English, and she was in love with Leslie Howard.
Was she?
Yes. So I was, my name is spelled the Boer's way, I.E.
How absolutely
which is
intriguing.
Not correct for girls.
No. No, it's meant to be spelt with a Y, E-Y, is it?
E-Y, it should have been. But she spelt it I-E because of Leslie Howard.
You're named, you're given a boy's name in memory of Leslie Howard.
Yes.
That's hilarious. Now, your mother got very depressed, didn't she?
She had no father. Father walked out for the proverbial pack of cigarettes.
No, and didn't come back.
Yes, and didn't come back. Oh. And mother had to manage. In 1900, it was pretty difficult for a mother. My mother committed suicide. Yes, it was horrendous. It was horrendous. But my mother was on two pills and drink as well. I think the war, this is one of the side effects of the war. I think a lot of people couldn't stand the horror of it and the danger and the anxiety. Not children so much. We survived.
Where were you when she died?
I think I was in Paris. I just took the next plane to go to her funeral.
What an awful shock.
But anyone who'd been through the war, royal family or a person, anonymous person, just suffered very much of lack of nourishment, and especially parents of children were in constant anxiety and lack of nourishment. In other words, I arrived in Hollywood undernourished, very thin, and with the duty of getting fatter and eating the right food.
Did you have brothers and sisters, Leslie?
I had a brother, yes, I still have.
He's still alive, is he?
Yes.
Oh, what does he do?
He was a chemist, like our father. Mm-hmm. He lives in the Virgin Islands, where my parents retired, because my mother loved the sunshine. And it just was paradise when they arrived there. My father gave French lessons, my mother gave ballet lessons, until they put enough money with a bit of my help into buying a shop and bringing French perfume to the Virgin Islands.
How amazing. So yes. is that where she was when she died, in the Virgin Islands?
Yes, yes. I don't know why she got depressed there, because that was exactly what she wanted, sunshine and joyous people singing all day long. When your father walked out on you, it was very difficult.
Mm. How old was she when that happened?
Little girl. And in those years, it was seriously difficult without
I can imagine.
A father.
After your mother died, at what stage of life were you at then? Were you married then? Were you with Warren Beatty? Were you on your own?
I was flirting with different men. I had left Peter because Peter Hall, I don't know if he didn't think I could act or whatever it was, but he didn't believe in me as an actress, which was disappointing.
Indeed.
And yes, I more than anything in the world wanted to be recognized as an actress. And having lived through the war, I knew what drama was like. Mm. And I could portray drama. As a matter of fact, I got awards every time I played drama.
It seems that you did, yes. You have multiple awards.
Yeah.
Did you meet Warren Beatty acting?
You could say I did. I met him at a dinner before the awards.
Uh-huh.
And before the Academy Awards.
And what were you nominated for at those awards? I know you've been nominated more than once.
I think it was the L-shaped room.
The L-shaped room, yes.
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 Which I was chosen for, although the part was written for an English girl.
Uh-huh.
Yes. English producers didn't believe in the sexuality of English girls. In those days, they thought English girls were not sexy.
So interesting.
And they had to cross the channel and get a French girl.
What date was the L-shaped room?
In the 60s.
In the 60s. So, and that's around, that's the time you met Warren Beatty. And you were with him for quite a long time, weren't you?
Not so long. I think a couple of years.
Ah, okay.
But harrowing time.
Harrowing?
Yes. Exhausting. Because the two of us together created such
havoc. Did you ever act with him?
Yes, I did a film with him, which I haven't seen yet.
What was that?
Promise Her Anything.
Aha. Uh-huh. Now, therein lies a tale, isn't
it? Yes. A comedy with a baby.
You've never seen it?
No. And then Warren heard that François Truffaut was preparing Bonnie and Clyde. And he got hold of the book, read it, and thought, this is exactly for me.
Mm-hmm.
And Leslie.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So, and the rights were owned by François Truffaut.
I did not know that. How fascinating. Mm.
So François Truffaut was very busy doing some other film with Oscar Werner,
mm-hmm.
and couldn't do Bonnie and Clyde. And in any case, it's an American story. So he said, if you two, Warren and Leslie, want a good script, I propose you read Bonnie and Clyde and buy the rights and do it. So we got hold of the book. Of course, it was a masterpiece. And Warren went off to America to set it up. And in the midst of it, he thought that the girl should be American.
Mm.
So he, in fact, got rid of me. And
that must have been gutting. Is it Faye Dunaway did it, didn't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
He discovered Faye Dunaway.
Yeah. I mean, she was very good in it.
She was remarkable.
Yeah, they both were. But was that the end of your relationship as well?
Yes.
And then what after that? Then what did you do?
Well, I said to him, listen, don't worry, I have a picture with Rock Hudson, which I'm supposed to start next week, so don't worry about me. So we parted amicably, and he started preparation for Bonnie and Clyde, and I started my film with Rock.
I mean, you've worked with so many superstars, haven't you? From, you know, all those incredible male leads like Cary Grant and so. What were you in with Cary Grant?
Yes. That's the most beautiful moment in my life.
Tell us about that. What was the movie?
It was a silly movie, but absolutely enjoyable. The two of us stranded on a desert island while the Japanese are coming to invade. And I'm the mom, school mom, of five schoolgirls. Mm-hmm. And he's a beachcomber. Mm-hmm. He's running around barefooted with dungarees and looking like a bum. And his public never forgave him for that. The film wasn't a success because he wasn't dapper.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. He learned his lesson, never again.
Why was it such a wonderful, happy moment for you, that film?
Because we went to Jamaica. I was given a house by the company and a cook and a butler and driven everywhere and eating lobster for dinner every night.
That'll do.
Yes, absolutely heaven. And I said to my friends in New York or Los Angeles, come on over, I've got extra rooms. I've got a big house by the beach. You can write, you can do whatever you want. And I'm just filming all day with Cary Grant. Excuse me.
Excuse me.
Oh, gosh, it was so much fun.
Of all the films and theatres you've, you know, ballets, everything you've done, what role have you felt happiest playing?
I learned a lot about comedy through Cary Grant.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Cary Grant was a master of comedy. He would throw a line and wait for the result. Let the public realise and laugh. And then you can speak. It's your turn to speak. But he was a master at timing. Master at seduction. Every kind of seduction.
Did you have an affair with him?
No.
No.
He was about to get his girlfriend over. She came during the film and was pregnant, which absolutely thrilled him.
Oh.
He wanted more than anything in the world, children.
So, he was a nice man, was he?
Oh, yes, and very philosophical. He had a series about everything. Stay discreet, don't talk about yourself. Don't talk to the press. Let them guess, and so on.
But you've been quite mysterious.
Good. I got it from him.
When did you make that film? Was that Father Goose?
Yes. This one wasn't a success.
No.
Because, as I said, he was dressed as a beachcomber.
Not in his exquisitely cut suits,
no,
for which he's so well known.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, even when he's being chased by an aeroplane north by northwest, his suit is perfect.
But he talked about his mother. I mean, here was a man who the film finished would zoom over to England to wherever his mother was.
And have you spent most of your life living in Paris or London? Or
I then settled in Paris and loved. I had lots of French friends. But when I got older, I thought I must get close to my children.
So you have a daughter, Jenny, who lives in Suffolk. And where does Chris, your son, live? Hampshire, is it?
Hampshire.
And you have three grandchildren and a great-grandchild.
I have one great-grandchild and about to have a great-grandchild.
What? So the second great-grandchild is coming into summer?
Ooh. Second one is coming.
Oh, how lovely. So what next?
Well, I live much slower now and enjoy watching other people perform.
Who do you admire today?
I don't know. I don't follow ballet anymore. Once I'm through with one fabulous, exciting thing, I walk away. I'm quite capable of doing that.
Mm. You've done so many fabulous, exciting things. I mean, your life's been just amazing.
I don't think so. I think it's just normal. Just like everybody else in this profession.
Would you have changed anything?
Yes, more of it.
You'd like to have done more of it?
Yes. I mean, I see actors and actresses having films by the hundreds.
Well, your list is so long, you're forgetting some of the things you've been in. So
yes.
I think you've done...
That's true.
You've done plenty. And, Leslie, it's been such a treat to talk to you. It's just been so lovely, and thank you very much.
Thank you for getting to Kensington to see me.
You've been listening to Radio Oldie, sponsored by Baillie Gifford, with me, Charlotte Metcalfe, in conversation with Leslie Caron. If you've liked listening to us, you'll find more conversations like this on our website, www.theoldie.co.uk, where you'll also be able to subscribe to the magazine. Once again, thank you to Leslie Caron, to Baillie Gifford, our sponsor, and I very much hope you've enjoyed listening. Goodbye.